And now,
check this out.
It's crunch time with Steve Tannen.
They think he's a righteous dude.
What'd I win?
Live from the Papa John's studio.
Wait a minute. Let me get CB on the line. We're green lighting it. It's a go.
And I want full air support. I want tanks and some fire throwers. And I want explosions over here. And I want planes going. Cool.
Are they going to bust in here and arrest us?
It's crunch time on 95.3 The Score.
Well, hello to you. Hello, Friday. Hello, weekend.
Good morning, Vietnam.
Welcome to the...
2:00 in the afternoon.
Screaming and yelling like a maniac as we kick it off. Mid-July. You know, I got an email from the athletic department. I didn't realize they sent out basically you have to get credentials and get parking and all that. We go through it every year. It's not a big deal. But they hit us up with the 7 home games this year, by the way. And Nevada, Montana, Cal, Colorado, the first 4, I wouldn't call them scintillating. Washington State is always fun, if not downright annoying. Hopefully that'll be about a 7 in the morning game, because with how often they throw it, it'd probably end about 10:30 at night. Arizona coming to town, and then Civil War. Wait a minute. Oh, okay. I see. Civil War. The week before Thanksgiving. Man, Oregon, really, the most severe tests are going to be OTR on the road. I also, today, delved in for the first time to the website that lists win totals. Or really, it's... To understand how Vegas, how the mind... of those who invite you to make wagers. It's not necessarily that they think Stanford is going to win 7 games. The betting line is meant for one reason and one reason only. For bookies, Vegas, now all the places that are going to have the kind of wagering that they've exclusively held in the state of Nevada. They want half of you to bet on one team, half of you to bet on the other. Half on one wager, half on the other, and they live off the 5 to 10% juice. So Oregon, on the road, obviously they got the neutral game where, the big news yesterday was game day is going to be there against them Var Tigers. I guess I haven't really paid attention because I haven't been in football mode. At Stanford, at Washington, at USC. those are their 3 road games in league. And then at ASU. And like I was reading earlier, ASU was very much one of those jury out. The losses, especially the 1-2 punch of Manny Wilkins and N'Keal Harry gone. By the way, Oregon State, 2.5 over under. The running back situation is solid. Jamar Jefferson is the real deal. Young man is a terrific football player. He's fun. And they're talking about non-conference Cal Poly, handle them. Hawaii is, has been a bad team for a while now. And they also play Oklahoma State at league. So the way Vegas has it set up, by the way, 284-8571, the Oregon fuel injection hotline. Yes. Well,
so that's the battle of the OSUs of black and orange.
Yep.
It's
going to be very confusing.
That's got to be the official battle of who takes the OSU crown, right? Ohio
State going to have to get in there?
No, they've got the little underscore for the Ohio State University.
Okay.
You have to say the Ohio State University, even though there's like already one of them. But, I mean, Oklahoma State, Oregon State, black and orange, black and orange. Somebody's coming away the ultimate victor here, you know?
Is that a series that they just recently set up? Because that kind of snuck up on me. I don't know if I remember during my 29 years here that they've ever played. Now, that game is up at Reser on August 30th. It's a Friday. Then they go to Hawaii. Then they play Cal Poly home and get a bye before Stan Fried. So Civil War, did I say the week leading up to Thanksgiving? That's wrong. Civil War's the 30th. Can't even add anymore. It's getting ugly. It's getting ugly up in here.
All right.
British Open. Rory McIlroy. I don't know if you... There's got to be a record of first round, second round in a major. I mean... Seriously, he knocked off 14 strokes in a day. That's astonishing. And that's like his home track. You know, we talked yesterday about he was one of the favorites going in. He's an hour from there, you know, understanding how the courses around there work with the, you know, the winds could be a factor. Then it could be calm. Then it could, you know, get a little on the moist side. And he had shot 61 at that course, I guess, 14 years ago when he was a wee bairn of 16 years old. So from that round, he added 18 strokes, and then he found a way to cut off 14 strokes, but there's a catch. He didn't make the cut. He needed a birdie on 18, ended up with a fantastic par, and will not be playing on the weekend. Now, once upon a time, you had to be within 10 shots of the leader to get in. Then they changed the rule, and each organization that runs their respective slam event altered them somewhat. So, plus one was the cut line. And under previous guidelines, all those guys who were plus two, and let me tell you something, there were 13 of them out of the contest, and some pretty prominent names. Keegan Bradley, who's won a major. Rory, four-time major winner. Jason Day, won a major. And Brant Snedeker. So they're history. They're in the archives. And they're not alone as far as good players. Win the U.S. Open, missed the cut at the British Open. I'm trying to think who else. I mean, Tiger, out. Lefty, out. Zach Johnson, another multi-major winner. Out of the contest. Kid Dynamite, Jimmy Walker, is out. I'll tell you who's not out. We'll get into the details. Aaron Wise. Red numbers. So, well done, young man, playing in his first British Open. One over yesterday. Two under today. He's minus one. He is tied for 32nd with a bunch of guys. It's like a 97-way tie. Wow. But but how
is
cool is that?
Unofficial count?
Yeah. How about playing in your first British Open? It's like, I made the cut. Kind of comfy. Well done for the former Duke.
I mean, that's two more rounds of free golf, plus you get to make some money. Pretty nice course.
Well, making the cut at a major means at least, I think, 80 large. That's a good way to go through life. In essence, I'd be happy if I could make 80 grand. I work once a year, one weekend a year. That's it. More than I make now. And I would put in 4 days of work.
A that equal? More money.
So I also saw the over-under or the projected win totals for the NFL. There are only two teams at the bottom. I was actually a little surprised to see some of these numbers. Only one team with more than a 10.5. You had three teams at 10.5. The Chiefs, the Rams, and the Aints. New England at 11. Then at the bottom, you've got the Cardinals and the Dolphins. Then that's five wins. Then you've got the greatness of the Raiders at six. Giants at six. So are the Bengals. I was going over it, and again, it's their play in the gambling houses to entice you to make a wager there.
You said there was one team that had an over-under higher than 10?
10.5.
10.5, okay.
The Pate Riots.
That's it. It's six teams last year win 10 or more games.
Hey, the Patriots won 11, Chiefs 12, Rams 13, Saints 13, Chargers 13, not Bears,
Chargers
12.
Chargers had 12 wins as well.
I thought I must have jotted the wrong number down.
You did.
What?
You did, yes. I'm looking at the records from last year. The L.A. Clippers had 12 and the Chiefs had 12.
I did something I haven't done in a while. I went old school. I had up on one screen the numbers. I didn't just want to cut and paste it because with 32, it would have taken like three pages. So I was like going back to my old typing lessons with Mrs. Grandstrand. And I was looking at that and I was blah, blah, blah. I knocked out my two pages in like 45 seconds. And I guess I got confused. And I debated
Tannenism.
I debated whether we should continue calling them the Chargers or just continue to confuse people and refer to them as the Clippers.
Well, I think it should be L.A. Clippers or it should be San Diego Chargers or Carson Chargers. I think those are the options. Actually calling them the Los Angeles Chargers is something that should be greatly frowned upon.
And some of the biggest swings as far as last year. So they got the Texans at 8.5 off an 11-win seed. Bounce back year. It also helps if you've got one of the best quarterbacks in the league, you know, healthy and participating. So Arizona was with the Jets, the clear. Oh, the Raiders, too. That's right. The Raiders stunk last year as well.
On that list of the Dolphins? I've got
bottom.
The bottom? Okay.
Yeah, they're tied with the Cardinals. Although they anticipate Arizona going from 3 to 5, Miami going from 7 to 5. So that's not exactly a vote of confidence for Josh Rosen. Or is Fitzpatrick also in the mix?
Oh, yeah. I was just about to say, who is their quarterback? Is their head coach? I want to say Manny Diaz, but that's wrong. I think he actually coaches in Miami. Is it Flores?
Remember, Kingsbury.
No, that's
Miami. What am I saying?
No, that's Arizona. I'm trying to think of Miami. I think it's Flores. I think it was the guy who was like the Patriots.
Yeah. You're right. Guy. It was Gase last year. He popped his eyes out of his head, and he's going to ruin the Jets next. So it's Brian lie down on the Flores. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Somebody texted, just like the Angels, the Los Angeles Chargers of Carson. That's kind of your thing, right?
Yeah. Well, they play in Carson, California, so they should
How
be the...
far is Carson from L.A.?
30 to 45 minutes, I think. Traffic.
Well, how far is Anaheim from L.A.? I mean, that's like ridiculous. I mean, I know it's odd that the New York Jets and New York Giants play in Jersey, but it's also a drive and a 50, and you look left, it's like, oh, there's the Empire State Building.
For some reason, it defaulted to bike ride, so it's an hour and a half long bike ride from L.A. to Carson. Home to L.A. is...
That's hysterical, by the way.
That's because it's a 53-minute long or an hour and 3-minute long car drive, so you might as well get the exercise. L.A. to Anaheim, you said, was the other one?
Yeah. I remember staying in L.A. when I was really young, and then we drove to Disneyland, and I remember it not being just a quick jaunt. I mean,
so yeah,
mileage-wise.
Latitude, the one that goes left,
oh, my God,
left,
you're
right?
Completely out of your mind.
Well, what I'm trying to explain is that Carson and Anaheim are essentially on the same, like, point down here at the map, if you would look at it, but you're typing away. So, and Anaheim are the same, look like they're the same rate, like distance.
About 30 miles.
Anaheim is more inland.
It says it's about 30 miles. And how long it would take right now, 1 hour and 6 minutes,
yes.
Which means LA traffic.
Yeah, if you're in LA right now listening to the score, don't get on I-5 northbound because it
slow.
Is a disaster.
It's red. Slow.
It's just red. There's too many people there. It is kind of the problem because the weather is so nice and it's like perfect all year round. You can wear the same set of clothes all year round and not have to worry about anything. And that's just why everybody wants to be there. But nobody should be there. Please leave.
Yeah. Heed this advice. All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, if you'd like to participate. There was one matinee today. With the Cubbies getting a win. And Craig Kimbrell is going to cause a few ulcers in the greater Chicago area. And the hitters are going to learn, I think, pretty soon that he has a tendency, if you wait him out, he will work behind in the count. And he doesn't have that electrifying fastball he did even 2 years ago. You could see, and I've brought this up before, he struggles with his command, and he did not have a very good postseason, although they won the World Series. So, you know, I think some of his acid reflux-inducing performances got masked with the Bo Sox winning all the marbles. I mean, he came in, closed the deal today, and he struck out the side, but he walked somebody, and there was a really close call. And one of the last hitters he faced also chased strike three out of the zone. So, like I said, he's doing well. After the first outing, he allowed two on. Then he got. He got beat up. I think that's five straight outings where he's only given up one hit and one walk and no runs.
Doesn't that kind of being a little bit wild and maybe not necessarily near the strike zone kind of work to his advantage? Because as a hitter, when you see the closer come into the game, you know you're within three. So you're within striking distance of wanting to get on. So if they're constantly thinking, well, we can just take pitches and like he's going to walk us, he can be a little bit more aggressive. And today it looked like he was going a lot more with his off speed and definitely trying to get guys to chase as opposed to trying to overpower him with the fastball.
Man, I'm just telling you, wait till word gets out.
As if you're the guy holding the secret on Craig Kimbrell.
I am going to at the other 15 National League teams. With a very simple message. Watch film on Kimbrell and wait him out. I don't sense a lot of retweets from the other 15. Just
no, probably not.
Call me nuts. By the way, how about Steve Strasburg last night? The Nationals beat the Braves very quietly about what Atlanta continue their role as the favorite. Did the pickup of Bryce Harper and JT Realmuto behind the plate push Philly in front as a favorite? And with the departure from DC of Harper, would that kind of drop Washington out of the contender conversation? And remember, there were people who thought the Mets might be a threat as a wild card with, contingent on the health of Mats or Wheeler to go with the 1-2 punch of Thor, Syndergaard, and Jacob deGrom. And we've learned the answer to that is well, no. But they're 5.5 back, by the way. in the middle of July here, and they are now the wild card front runner. And the numbers for Strasburg, the fifth pitcher, the last half century, 50 years. Well, you know what a half century is. Well, Nick's not so good with numbers, so.
Is that a fortnight? Or how many scores is that?
Four score. What's that, 80 years? A score is a year. Because when they gave the Gettysburg Address, it was four score and 7 years ago, I believe. So
right. That's how it started.
1865. Minus 65 puts you into 1800, and then another, how many did I say, 17? Yeah, it's in the neighborhood. How much is a score? Anyway, he became the fifth pitcher in the last 50 years to have two hits in a single inning. Yeah, he gave the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863, and four score and 7 years ago was 18, it takes us 18 years back to 1776, right? Four scored 7 years ago. It's 87 years.
A score is equal to 20 years.
Yeah, thank you very much. Just give me time. Eventually, I'll get there.
It sounded like you talked yourself into a circle, and then you just walked backwards out of the circle you talked yourself into.
But the math fit in, because I was thinking 1865, because that's when the Civil War ended. I forgot it was 1863, the Emancipation Proclamation. Once upon a time, I was money with these things, but I haven't sat in a classroom in about 3.5 decades, so go easy. Anyway, as I was trying to say, the fifth pitcher the last 50 years to have two hits in a single inning, including a homer.
2.5 score.
I'm going to stab something. The last guy to do it was Edwin Jackson 9 years ago. And by the way, just the second pitcher since they added the DH in 1973 to have a homer, three hits, and five RBI in a game. The only one that's done that since, Mika Owings of Arizona back in 07.
What year did you say Edwin Jackson did this? 9 years. So 2010?
Yeah.
How many teams do you think it's been that Edwin Jackson has played for
since then? Well, 30, so it's like 27.
He's played for almost every single team in baseball.
Did he set the record, or is he in the neighborhood?
He has set the record, yeah. I think when the A's signed him, he tied the record, and then he landed with the Blue Jays, and he broke the record.
Who's the guy that whose record he tied? It was that receiver. The reliever who had... I'll forget it. Anyway, before we take a break, the Public House in Springfield is hosting its inaugural Seafood Fest. It's running through Sunday, and it features specialty seafood dishes from all of their food purveyors, beers and ciders from the coast, live music. All ages are welcome. The five food purveyors serving their individual specials. The breweries are going to stick with the theme, and all of the taps will be pouring brews and ciders made at some of the top coastal breweries and cider houses. And they've got music tonight. 5 o'clock, Darlene, my band, and then the Greg Nessler band at 7:30. Music tomorrow at 5 and 7:30. Music on Sunday, 4 o'clock. Public House, in Springfield on A Street. Like him on Facebook. Follow on Twitter. Online, publichousehub.com. All right, let's take a break. And when we return, we'll have an update and more crunch time. 95-3, the score. I got the
horses in the back. The 1-0 is driven to deep left field. This one's way, way back. It's going, going, and long gone. Steven Strasburg puts it over the Atlanta bullpen for his fourth career home run. Steven Strasburg has two hits here in the third inning, and the Nationals lead it 8-1. A tape measure home run for Strasburg.
420-footer. I wonder what the longest homer on record by a pitcher is. That would be interesting. Do we know what the longest homer ever is? There's been some lies and some urban myths that Ruth hit one 600 feet, that I think they said Mantle measured one about 560 at Old Griffin Stadium in Washington. I think Mantle also hit the light stanchion at the top of Yankee Stadium.
According to Wikipedia, Joey Meyer of the Denver Zephyrs hit the longest verifiable home run in professional baseball history, 582 feet.
Man.
It was hit inside Mile High Stadium.
There you go. Yeah. How about Major League Baseball?
It's a good question. Let me find that out.
Yeah, we've got our Cracker Jack research staff efforting on this as we speak. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. You could also hit us up via the text line, 321-0824. Try us on Twitter at 953thescore for the station, at SportsTalk953 for me, and for Nick at Rick Nodgers. I saw this story on ESPN, and there was some commentary offered. James Harden is withdrawing from the U.S. national team. I guess they're having the FIBA World Cup in China. Anthony Davis pulled out as well. As a matter of fact, because Kyle Lowry underwent a surgical procedure. So the guys who are playing, Damian Lillard, Kemba Walker, Bradley Beal, it's September 1st for 2 weeks, various cities around China. And I've always said, and of course, I'm out of practice. First, the Knicks would have to have a good player worthy of playing in an international event. And it'd be like, I sure as hell wouldn't want a guy on my team playing in any kind of event like that. All right, what'd you find out?
You ready for home runs? Okay, so the number one on this list is Babe Ruth. Apparently in 1921, hit one 575 feet in Navin Field in Detroit. But the only one that's been verified in the top 10 of this list is that has been actually verified by StatCast was Giancarlo Stanton in 2016. And I'm trying to find it now. He hit one 504 feet.
Wow.
So that's the only one that's been verified
by
StatCast.
Can we just think about that for a minute? The power alleys in most stadiums are, what, about 380? So he hit it 125 feet past the wall. It's like... My favorite scene in long home runs is the outfielder who just is like, I am not even wasting a neck turn on this. Or
I do love that. Watching the outfielders who just don't move.
Right.
That's the best.
The best one I saw, I think Nick and I were talking about it before the All-Star break. I think it was the Cincinnati catcher. The pitcher gave up such a long homer that at the crack of the bat, the catcher just kind of put his mitt over his shoulder.
Give me a new ball.
ball. Or when a pitcher just gives up a bomb and just puts his glove out for the ump, another ball.
Come on.
That one ain't coming back.
I'm so mad I don't even want to think about looking at it. Number two on the list was Mickey Mantle at 565.
That was
apparently.
The one in D.C.?
Yeah.
Okay.
Washington's
Griffith
Stadium.
Growing up, that was always, and again, not a lot of stat cast in the early in the mid to late 1950s.
Really?
Well, they say that in practice, also not documented, the great Negro League player Josh Gibson actually hit one out of Yankee Stadium, but non-verified.
So apparently that Mantle one, Bob Costas credited as the Guinness Book of World Records holder for the longest home run. He literally, or the team's PR director, literally used a tape measure to figure out how far it was.
Tape measures are like 6 feet. What do you do with 6 feet?
Yeah. So you mark it 6 feet, then you do it again, then you do it again, then you do it again, a whole bunch until you go to
That's
where the
so
ball
That's so funny
landed.
Because I had to repair a section of fence, and I was out there, and I had to have, all right, hold that there, pencil, 6 feet, 6 feet, 6 feet. It was a misery.
They
have like 20-foot long tape measures that you don't have to do that with. They're like they're a lot longer.
By the way,
you can stake them into the ground.
How much better would it have been if you had one of those old school yardsticks, like three feet at a time,
or they literally just use their feet?
Where's Bill? He's still out there measuring Mantle's homer. It's ridiculous.
You just have a guy walking from the outfield wall in to make sure that that's measured correctly.
Oh yeah, I guess you could go from the wall back.
Well, yeah, that's obviously a lot easier. I was wondering why you guys hadn't thought. lot of that. But yeah, you have a guy walking.
The visual wasn't half as funny.
No, not even a little bit.
Doing 3 feet at a time from the tip of home plate.
No, you have a guy start at the wall. He walks in and he counts his steps, and you have a guy count at the wall and make steps out until where the ball lands. And you just kind of
walk it out.
It's about this far.
March it off.
Reggie Jackson in at third with 539.
Whoa.
He did that in the 71 All-Star game.
Oh, yeah, the one off Doc Ellis.
Went very far. Is Doc Ellis the pitcher who
lied about throwing a no-no on acid?
Yeah, yeah, that guy.
Got into a debate on Twitter, I think, during my week off. I was like, that is like such typical. Nobody knew about it in the 70s, 80s, 90s. All of a sudden, oh, by the way, the no-hitter I threw in 71, yeah, I was on acid.
Yeah, people really like to make drugs seem like they can do a
enhancing drug if you're playing Purple Haze, not pitching against major league hitters, you dumbass.
35.
Completed, finished, over with, and done.
Yeah, that guy.
Where did Stargell hit his? Was that at Riverfront or Three Rivers?
It was May 20th, 1978 in Montreal Stadium.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Olympic Stadium in Montreal.
Yeah.
All right. So there you go. Those are some big flies. I would say that maybe the hardest hit ball I ever saw in person was Stargell at Shea. Because for anybody who has a visual of old Shea Stadium, they had a black wall, which, you know, to aid the hitter so they could pick up the white ball from a background. And it made not a whack sound, like a thwack. And it hit off of it. And, you know, rather than a whoa where it was like, people were like, I think people were fearing for their lives that it was going to like knock the stadium over.
Adam Dunn on the list twice, by the way. He's also in a tie for 10th at 504 feet. He hit that one in 2008.
He was a big boy. He was a power hitter.
He hit a lot of home runs.
End of list. All right, 284-8571. It's your Oregon fuel injection hotline.
Yeah, Josh Gibson, by the way, on this list, he reportedly hit one 580 in 1937.
Does it say
out of Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, that was, see, but that's not verified.
There's no video evidence or official measurement of the monumental feat.
No, urban myth.
How long was the home run that Ted Williams hit that, like, hit somebody in the head? And they have, like, a seat that's a different color in right field or something like that. Because
Right.
Like, it hit somebody in the head, and they're like, that's exactly where it landed. That's how far it went. We can measure it out. Because I think that's close to a 500-foot home run, right?
According to ESPN's findings, the ball landed on a fan's straw hat deep in the right field.
Not his head.
Ball would have kept going, lending to the final true distance calculation of 530 feet. It actually got credit for 502 feet.
That's
because
funny.
Because it hit a fan on his straw
good.
Hat.
By the way,
how tall was that straw hat, by the way?
I was going to say, was the guy like on break from his barbershop quartet wearing a straw hat? What the hell is that even
straw
mean?
Straw hat that's like 30 feet tall?
Give me a straw hat and a cane. All right, what else did I want to get to? We were talking win totals, Pac-12, NFL, Pac-12 non-conference schedule we were discussing. And I was looking at every one of the teams that actually matters, what their non-conference schedule looks for. By the way, really quickly, because we're kind of up against the break. So they've got Oregon State, Vegas 2.5, Colorado 4. After a good start last year, then they lost 7 in a row, and that led to the end of the Mike McIntyre experience. Mel Tucker, I love the way that they justify their win total. Mel Tucker enters with low expectations. 5.5. The defense will keep it in every game, but something has to spark offensively. This would be another one to find the biggest swing. So Cal, 15th nationally in total defense, 115th in offense. I don't know if many teams are going to be able to beat a 100 spot swing. As far as Arizona State and UCLA, all at 6.5, which would make them bowl eligible. So Vegas says every 9 bowl eligible teams in league. UCLA, you know, obviously an awful start last year. Some moments season one under the Chipster. They started 0-5, ended up 3 and 4. And don't forget, they beat USC in the season finale, and they've got DTR, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, back. Josh Kelly, who ran for over 1,200 yards and 12 touchdowns, returns. They have I'm going to call it an interesting schedule. Did anybody hear Jody Mack? It was right after our show. He had our buddy Yogi Roth on, and he said, to Justin Herbert's benefit, he has a pretty high-profile game in each month. Not only the Auburn game, but at Stanford in September, then at Washington in October, and at USC in November, where he, you know, in essence, he was talking about the justification for Justin as a Heisman candidate. And, you know, generally, I think most of us just think, well, you got to win a lot of games, you got to contend in your division, probably win your division. Whereas, you know, you look at that, if Oregon were to go to Jerry's World and beat Auburn, at that moment, they would own a chunk of the spotlight. But we've seen so many years, you know, the October Heisman winners. Nobody pops to mind more than what Geno Smith had done. And if you remember RG3's year, he had that ridiculous run, especially in the non-con, where he had, like, more touchdown passes than, like, incompletions in a couple games or something just completely insane like that. All right, we'll get to all that as we move it along. Even though Alex updated the British Open leaderboard at our Coors Light update, I'll give you some details and what happened to some of the notables, who's in the hunt, and who shall be winging it back to the States after missing a cut.
I thought they would come down on him because of the verbal threat, given the fact that this is a woman he has a very disturbing history with, right? The history that I just described. Given that context, for him to come out and threaten her, which is what that was, and that's something that the league has suspended players for before, Jimmy Smith on the Ravens, I am surprised they did nothing.
Mina Kimes of ESPN talking about the word coming down, no suspension, no penalty at all for Tyreek Hill. Roger Goodell, your legacy is hiding CTE and the results of long-term collisions in this violent game and kissing the ass of perpetrators of domestic violence. End of story. And making a lot of money for the owner. So that's all you care about. That's all he cares about. So, you know, congratulations. Moron accomplished. All right, 284 8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, going to put it in lockdown mode. Always feel free to text us, 3210@24, or hit us up on Twitter at 953 the score for the station, at Sports Talk 953 for yours truly, for Nick behind the board at Rick Nodgers. Aight! It's Friday. It's that time. We'll shake our heads. Just sit in amazement at the level of dimwit or mean-spirited jerks. It's called the Crunch Time Tool Shed. Before we roll out the nominees, we bring in the head tool to open things up.
I love this city. I love being a Yankee.
let's start with the Red Sox lefty David Price. So he's the ding-dong who 2 years ago got all kind of bent out of shape for a comment analyst Dennis Eckersley made about then-teammate Eduardo Rodriguez, who was throwing during a rehab stint, and Eck responded with a really vile tirade, one of the worst in the history of broadcasting, when he said, and I quote, yuck. And at the time, he confronted Eck on the team plane, mocked him, cursed him, and teammates applauded. 2 years ago, still not over it. Yuck. Still ignites the guy like he talked crap about his family 24 hours ago. So when he got to Fenway earlier this week, he actually asked to speak with reporters about this from 2 years ago. When Eck, who's, by the way, kind of a dipwad himself, make no mistake, said, you know, I'm over it, I'm not going to address it, Price tweets out a row of crying laughing emojis and called Eckersley trash. 2 years. David, could you be more of a petulant child, please? Next up, a combo. The NFL and the Kansas City Chiefs. You just heard Mina Kimes, Tyreek Hill, no penalty. Seems we've gotten to the point where people who make a lot of money or are in positions of power can literally play the who you gonna believe, me or your lying eyes card. Well, in this case, it would be your lying ears. The league says we cannot determine if Hill violated the personal conduct policy. So let's examine the fact. He's already got a guilty admission on file from 2015, assault and battery against his ex-fiancée, Crystal Espinal. He also stands accused of abusing their 3-year-old son who suffered a broken arm. And there's a recording. Hill and Espinal arguing after she tells him the child is terrified of him. He replies, "You should be terrified of me too, B-word." But I guess that kind of falls into the fake news category. And the Chiefs play along. Well done, guys. As always, looking out for women and children and their best interests, not worried about the product on the field or putting fannies in the seats. And our finale is going to be a bit of a reach. How about Disney Studios? Look, I get you slipped a bit. Once a standard setter for entertainment and the happiest place on earth. Basically, at this point, you might as well have a red light outside your offices. You know what in no way was even remotely needed? A remake of The Lion King. How rare is it you get double perfection? The original animated film, released 25 years ago, brilliant now, brilliant then. The Tony Award-winning Broadway play, released almost 22 years ago to the day, I've seen it on Broadway, it's transcendent brilliance. It's still running and touring. Pretty much every review says this new one, whatever monstrosity it's become, well, it's kind of crappy. And I get we're kind of out of original ideas. What are we up to? Too Fast, Too Furious 9 and Rocky 17? But, and they're redoing Top Gun and other mediocre ideas out of desperation. But The Lion King, come on, is nothing sacred. Leave perfection alone and maybe make another police academy. Tool Shed is kind of an easy one. The chefs and the NFL. That's my story, and that's just my story. All right, with that that thought in mind, excuse me to say, that theory, that thought. Let's close the Crunch Time Tool Shed.
My only focus is to play baseball. To play baseball the right way. That was silly and unprofessional.
He gone.
All right. So before we break, I want to remind you, we're holding our first ever KUJZ Summer Swap Meet. It's latter part of August. It's actually the Saturday before football season starts, August 24th at the fairgrounds in at the Lane County Fairgrounds. It'll run from 9 o'clock in the morning to 4 p.m. So if you want to rent a spot, a 10 by 10 is $60, but you need to stop by our studio offices at 1200 Executive Parkway, Suite 440. It's the building across from the Firestone at Valley River. Once the swap is taking place, it's only $2 to get in. So again, the KUJZ Summer Swap Meet is August 24th at the Lane County Fairgrounds from 95.3 The Score. All right, looking ahead to sports talk, we've got some MLB notes. Going to, since we're a little past the halfway point of the season, kind of hit the review button and see who made the most wise off-season moves beyond just signing guys for big bucks like the Padres or the Phillies. NFL, some win totals along with explanations. And how about some Pac-12 football? Going through the non-conference schedules and the win totals out of Vegas as well. So, yeah, we got that going for us, which is nice. So hang tight. Crunch time for the week is a memory. Sports Talk coming at you next. 95.3, The Score.
But, man, y'all got to coconut up.